Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, July the 20th. And I'm talking to you again from a Texas heat advisory week. We've had temperatures pretty over 100. I mean, 105, 106. It's in that range right now in the afternoon as I talk to you. So if you're coming to Dallas, if you're coming to Texas, particularly North Texas, make sure you bring a swimsuit because you're going to need it. You'll want to go into somebody's swimming pool, either the hotel or a friend or maybe a public pool. But this is a day where you should be in the water enjoying the one, or working, if you're working in air conditioning. But when you go out, you better hit that swimming pool as soon as possible. Today we're going to remember Apollo 11. You know, I'm one of those lucky people who remembers that day and the landing and the walking on the moon and all of that. So we're going to go back and remember some of that. There's a couple of stories, though, that I want to get into. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about President Obama in South Africa. You know, I find that that's almost bizarre for the President of the United States to take a trip to South Africa to talk about human rights. Now, I understand the connection to Nelson Mandela, and I understand that President Obama is a great admirer of Nelson Mandela, and we all know the history of Nelson Mandela. He was a prisoner and all of that. We all know that. And in some ways, we celebrate the fact that Nelson Mandela was a political prisoner, and we're happy to see that apartheid is no longer the policy in South Africa. But if you look at South Africa, the fact is that the governments that replaced the governments that they had, or the governments that have something to do with Nelson Mandela's party, have done the country a great disharm. I mean, the economic conditions in South Africa are just a disaster. And now the country is derailing into really some pretty dangerous racial politics. You know, there are threats against some of the white farmers that they're going to take their properties away, they're going to distribute them to other people. And this is the kind of stuff that, frankly, is not a good idea for a country to go through. And that's the reality of South Africa. There are also some reports that South Africa has a lot of violence against women. It's not a very happy country at the moment. So I just thought it was bizarre for the President of the United States to deliver a speech, basically anti-Trump speech, about, you know, strong men and, you know, these people who are a threat to democracy. I thought it was ridiculous for him to say it in South Africa without bringing up the fact that South Africa right now is not exactly a bastion of human rights. The president then went off on some other things about universal income and you know, and some social justice type of talk. I just thought it was extremely rare that the President of the United States would pick South Africa for that speech. I understand that it was the Nelson Mandela anniversary, then he should have done a different speech. But if he was going to do basically an anti-Trump speech, somehow talking that or saying that Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy, you know, there's a much bigger threat in the country that he was in, but he chose not to say it. So I was just kind of surprised that he would say that in South Africa. I'm not surprised that he gave the speech that he gave, because that is Obama. But I'm just kind of surprised that he chose South Africa or Nelson Mandela's anniversary to deliver basically a political speech against President Trump. So what can I say? Not much. But I can tell you this about his speech. You're not going to have a single Democrat running for re-election in a competitive district. Many of those Democrats in the center of the country, or some of those Democrats running in red states, not a single one of those Democrats is going to be talking about that speech or showing parts of that speech as part of their campaign. I think this was a pretty unfortunate speech by President Obama. Now, I have a post coming out tomorrow morning about this young woman in the Bronx, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, I think is her name. Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez, I think she's a young woman of Hispanic heritage, I think Puerto Rican, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. But she was just elected in won the primary, I should say, in a Bronx district, and she defeated a long-term incumbent by the name of Mr. Crowley. So on that basis, this young woman deserves a lot of attention, and she obviously pulled off probably the biggest upset of the year, certainly on the Democrat side. But ever since this young woman has been talking, this young woman has turned into a disaster. She really doesn't know what she's talking about. When she's talking about Israel, when she's talking about the economy, she just seems to be basically doing talking points. Whenever somebody would ask her a question about anything, she automatically flips on the talking points, almost as if she's reading talking points on the camera, or somebody puts a blackboard in front of her and say, this is what you say. And that's how she talks, and I don't think she's doing herself any favor, impressing anybody. And I know there's a lot of concern about her in the Democrat Party. Former Senator Lieberman came out and basically said, if that's the future of our party, we've got some real problems. And Senator Lieberman is exactly right. If that's the future of the Democrat Party, they're going to have a lot of problems winning the districts that they need to win to win the majority. Oh, they're going to win some districts. They'll win the districts they're supposed to win. But they're not going to win the ones where they have to win if they want to be a majority party. So this young woman needs to spend this summer sort of catching up with issues, because as of right now, I don't think she knows much about anything. I mean, I think she's really clueless about certainly the economy and certainly foreign policy, and definitely clueless on Israel. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and then we'll talk about Apollo 11 right after this.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we've got that link over in the show information. If you see where the show description is underneath, you will see the link to Carlos. Very quickly, we say happy number 80 to Tony Oliva, one of the great major league hitters of my generation. Just a great guy and someone who probably should be in the Hall of Fame. I know there's a lot of talk about him maybe getting voted in later into the Hall of Fame. On this day in 1938, the young woman who we came to know as Natalie Wood was born in California. She died, of course, tragically, in 1981. And on this day in 1940, the young man that we came to know as Bruce Lee in all of those martial arts movies, he was born in California as well. He died also suddenly in 1973. So Bruce Lee and Natalie Wood, two of the big movie stars that we grew up following. And Tony Oliva, one of the great hitters of Major League Baseball, on this day, July 20th. Well, obviously, something else happened on July 20th, and that's going to be our topic today, and that's the landing on the moon. You know, for my generation, this is probably the biggest thing that happened in our lives. When you think about it, I'm talking not on a personal basis, of course, but I mean on a general basis. But when you think about the landing on the moon, and you ask yourself the question, what are we going to be remembering 300, 200, 500 years from now? I mean, for example, when we look back at the 15th century, what do we remember? We remember the fact that Columbus came over here. When we think of the 19th century, well, we probably think of the Civil War, the U.S. Civil War, particularly if you're studying American history. Well, I think when you look back at this time, people are going to say the great things that happened in this time. Yes, we did have two wars in the 20th century, and I know we had a nuclear technology and all this technology that we have. But I think the single biggest event that people will remember 100, 200, 300, 400 years from now, 1,000 years from now, I think is going to be the landing on the moon, because that was the one thing that really was just outside the box, if you think about it. Look, I remember watching the landing on the moon and the walk on the moon on this day in 1969. I was with my parents and we were watching that. And it was amazing to me how my parents would sit there looking at the television, and my father would say things like, it's hard to believe. I would have never believed this. This is incredible. Hard to believe. Because, of course, they grew up at a time when something like this was completely outside of the paradigm. Now, in my case, a little bit later, we did have, space programs and science fiction and all of that, but actually landing on the moon was pretty far-fetched, I would think, although there was, of course, a program to put a man on the moon before the 1960s, that famous call to action by President Kennedy about putting a man on the moon. But I think for me personally, when I look back at that space program, first of all, I remember all of the Gemini missions. The Gemini mission, for those of you who may not remember, the Geminis were the capsules that had two men. And they would go up to space. You know, that's the first time somebody walked in space, that kind of thing. And I think they were probably testing a lot of different things with Gemini. And then came Apollo. And Apollo was clearly the program that would eventually take us to the moon. And I remember just being captivated every time one of them would take off. Our teachers would let us watch it. And then when they came back, I was captivated by that as well. There was so much excitement around the space program. Now, the Apollo program, of course, got off to a rough start when the very first Apollo, I think Apollo 1, had this horrible accident when they were preparing or practicing or rehearsing. There was a terrible accident, an explosion, and we lost an entire crew. And that was a major setback for the Apollo program, not just in the fact that we lost three or four extremely capable astronauts, but also because it put everything on hold. They had to figure out why it exploded. And that probably put the program back 6 months to a year. But eventually the Apollo program got going. And I remember, when Apollo 7 went up and then Apollo 8, a very historic mission, because that was the first time that man went around the moon, that man actually flew around the moon. And I'm sure maybe some of you remember that Christmas Eve, 1968, when, you're sitting there in the car. We were coming home from the midnight mass with my parents, and they had the radio on. And we were hearing the three astronauts up in Apollo 8. I mean, who knows how many miles up there from the Earth. And they were sitting there reading from the book of Genesis. And I just thought it was remarkable. It was just one of those things that just blew your mind. And I'll never forget the words of, I think it was Berman, who was, Frank Borman, who was the pilot or the captain of that mission. When he said at the very end, and from us here in Apollo 8 to all the good people of the Earth, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And it was really stunning to, I remember when he said that, I looked up to the skies to see if maybe I could see him, but of course I couldn't. So that was kind of the context in which Apollo 11 happened. And we were all anticipating it. Apollo 10 happened, and I think that was actually a test run for Apollo 11, meaning the landing of the capsule on the moon. And then Apollo 11 happened. They took off. And then on the afternoon of July the 20th, the whole country was waiting for the news. And then I guess around 5 o'clock Central Time, Apollo 11 actually landed on the moon. And I remember watching television and listening to Walter Cronkite, and Walter Cronkite at one point said, "Oh my gosh, we've been on the moon 5 minutes or something like that." And everybody was just caught up in it, completely caught up. And then later that evening, I guess about 9 o'clock Central Time, that's when Neil Armstrong stepped out of the Eagle. I think it was called the Eagle. And he stepped out of the Eagle and he went down the famous words, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And he was down there. And we could see it on television, which is rather remarkable. The whole world, in fact, was watching this on television. It was truly amazing. And then a few minutes later, or maybe a couple of hours later, Buzz Aldrin came down. And they were both walking around. And then sometime after that, President Nixon gave a speech to the country that was connected to the moon so they could hear it up there. He actually spoke to Armstrong and Aldrin. And it was just an absolutely incredible moment. And even though it's been now 49 years, I think a lot of us still remember that as if it was yesterday, because it was such a moment. And as I say, a lot of things have happened in my life, but I don't think anything bigger has happened in my life than the landing on the moon 49 years ago today. At least 100 years from now, 200 years from now, that's what they're going to remember about the things that happened in my life. What an amazing day it was, July the 20th, 1969, and the landing on the moon. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later. And if you're coming to Dallas, it's very hot here. Bye-bye, everybody.